Don't know whether you ever stop and think about your destiny as a Christian, who you were meant to be in the eyes of God, what you have been created for. I think so often we're just so busy chasing our tails, trying to survive, that we never really stop and think about that. But it's glorious. What the scriptures say, what the tradition of the church says, basically says you're not only destined for heaven, but you're destined to share in the very life of God. The catechism says that the whole work of God is so that you would be able to share in the unity of the Trinity, that you would become God. It's kind of mind-blowing. It almost sounds blasphemous. But this is the teaching of the church. You know, that you would be so completely united with Christ that you would become his body. And as the body of Christ, enter into the unity of God. It's an amazing vision. It's astounding. You know, when you read Revelations, there's an idea of eternity is to be completely immersed in the glory of God, shrouded in light, to become light as Christ is the light. If you actually stop and think about that, this is a question that really bugs me, because I read this and then I look at my life and I think, something's wrong. That all this grace has been given to us, and this is, once again, what we teach, that all the grace is poured out to us through the sacraments, through baptism, through the Eucharist, through confession, that you have received the life of God into the heart of your soul, that Christ has done the work. And I look at my life and I think, something's gone wrong. Yeah, there's something missing there, because I believe that Christ is the light. And I believe that Christ dwells within my heart. But there is still a lot of darkness there. There are a lot of shadows. There are a lot of areas where I know that I'm blind. Why is there that gap? Now, I don't know whether you experience the same thing, but I think this would probably be a fairly universal question. Now, there are 2 billion Christians in the world. The world doesn't look like a Christian paradise. Yeah, that in all of us, Christ has done this work, and yet there is still so much to be done. This really, I think, is the question that these readings are raising for us. That we're somehow we are caught in the intersection, caught in this meeting point between the work of God and our own frailty, our own brokenness. You know, St. Paul says so clearly in the second reading, you were darkness once, but now you are light in the Lord. Be like children of the light. For the effects of the light are seen in complete goodness and right living and truth. That there is this need to allow the light to take over us. And I think really this is the essence of the problem. That everything necessary has been done. Everything that God needed to do has already been delivered to us. But to what degree have we allowed this to penetrate us? You know, once again, Paul goes on, anything exposed by the light will be illuminated, and anything illuminated turns into light. I think the reality is that there are places in my life where I don't want God to illuminate. You know, so often I talk to people, you know, whether it's in confession or just in pastoral care, and all around the country, I speak to people. And time and again, I hear the same thing. It's this desperate cry verging on despair, where people will say, there's this area of sin in my life, and I've tried, and I've tried, and I know it's wrong, but I give up. You know? It seems as though it's futile. I may as well just give in and try something else. You know, or there can be areas of deep despair in other ways. You know, even with the whole thing of that cry of love that's in our heart. You know, we have this deep yearning to be loved, and yet at the same time we can feel profoundly alone and isolated. And even in that place, there can be this deep pain. People crying out saying, I know this need and I'm doing everything I can to fix that, but it doesn't work. Yeah? Do I just take the easy option? You know, when I hear these people speak, I really feel their pain. At the same time, part of me sort of rejoices because I think you're actually one of the unique ones who is aware of that need. You know, the fact that you're actually able to express that consciously and know that you are struggling, know that you are lonely, know that there's an emptiness, you're on the right track. Because I think the vast majority of us are in complete denial, that we just pretend that there is no sin. We pretend that we've got life all together. But the result is the same, that we desperately run. We try and accommodate, compensate with whatever we can get. I don't know whether you've ever spent time in absolute darkness. You know, most of us dwell in cities surrounded by light. You know, even if you're in a dark room, there's still light. You ever had the experience of complete, utter darkness? It's terrifying. I remember once being out in the country on this very cloudy night, and someone turned the torch off and couldn't see the person standing next to me. And there was this almost moment of terror of thinking, I have no idea what to do now. I don't know what's in front of me. I don't know what's behind me. You know, darkness is a very scary thing. You know, we kind of feel very childish if we say that we're scared of the dark. Yeah? But the reality is, we live in cities surrounded by light because we're scared of the dark. And I think also the reality is that faced with the darkness, it's a lot easier to turn on an electric light than it is to wait for the sunrise. You know, we know that when the sun rises, everything will be illuminated and everything will be revealed. But we haven't got the patience to wait for that. So we prefer to turn on a small little measly light that's only going to light up a meter diameter. And we'll just stand in that light and hide there and hope for the best. You know, in the whole of our life, we do the same. That we know that there is this haunting darkness of our loneliness, of our sin, of our weakness and our brokenness. And we know that Christ is the light that will come to penetrate all of this, to transform all of this. But it's so much easier just to turn on a light switch, you know, to turn to a simple electric light, which is normally in the form of entertainment, distraction, busyness, noise. If you're lonely, it's so much easier just to keep yourself frantically busy and work ridiculous hours, not think about it. If you're struggling with an area of sin, it's so much easier to just fill your life with noise, pretend it's not there, never have to face the reality of what this sin is doing to you or to others. You know, faced with these deep, haunting questions of humanity, we turn to an artificial light. You know, we turn to a light that is only small and only temporary, a light that only reveals a very small amount and never fulfills its hope. But Christ is the answer. The only thing that's going to speak into these parts of our heart is the light of Christ, that we would bring ourselves in our brokenness towards God and say, illuminate these shadows. Illuminate the dark areas of my life. And that's painful. That is difficult. That's the reason why no one does this. Even if for us as Christians who know the truth of this, we could sit here and preach about this forever. We could tell everyone the truth of it, but never do it ourselves. We know that Christ is the light, and yet it is so much easier to turn on the television and distract ourselves than it is to come and bring ourselves before the Blessed Sacrament. It's so much easier to turn on our iPod and just blare it out with noise than it is to go to confession. You know, we will turn to these artificial lights instead of coming before the one who is the light of the world, to allow the Lord to illuminate those darkened areas of our life. You know, those areas of our broken sexuality, those areas of our deep loneliness and isolation, those areas of hurt and rejection which may have gone way back into our childhood. Stop running is basically what the Lord is saying. Stop trying to distract yourself with trivial things and look at the light. As it says in that beautiful psalm, look towards him and be radiant. Let your faces not be abashed. He is the light. As we look towards him, we become the light. We become radiant in his glory. The light of Christ is what transforms us. But the only way we can come to this place is by acknowledging that, yes, we are blind. That, yes, we are paralyzed, entrapped in this land of shadow. There is so many opportunities to encounter the Lord. The scriptures, the sacraments, basic prayer. Being able to just sit before the Lord and let him love you. So even that, sometimes prayer can be a way of hiding away from God. We can sit in prayer and just be busy, saying things, rattling off prayers. And yet Christ is there just saying, shut up, I want to love you. Let me shine my light upon you and penetrate the darkness. Stop trying to hide from it by keeping yourself busy. We need to put ourselves before the Lord and just let the light heal us. In these last few weeks of Lent, put yourself before the cross and just let the light of this mystery shine upon you. Whether it's on your way home from work or just at home, just to pull out a crucifix, gaze upon the wounds of Christ. See the love that radiates forth and allow the truth of that to pierce your heart. Allow it to shine into the darkened places of your life. Because the reality is that God has a glorious future for you. Your destiny as a Christian is to shine forth, to shine like the stars of heaven, as it says in the Book of Wisdom. That you would shine reflecting the light of Christ. Begin the process now. Place yourself before him. Let him shine upon you. Be prepared to enter into that painful place of admitting your hurt, admitting your shame, admitting your loneliness and your sin. But let the sun rise and illuminate all of it. Let it transform it. Take away all the fear. Let it change the way you think. Let it give you a new heart.